Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Aditya Birla Capital Limited Q4 FY 2020 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan, Chief Executive, Aditya Birla Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, and welcome to everyone to this call to discuss our Q4 and full year financial year 2020 results. I'm joined on this call by my colleagues, the CEOs of our various businesses, who will assist me in making this presentation and in taking any questions that you may have at the end. I hope you all have a copy of the presentation, and we are going to refer to page numbers from that presentation as we go through. Starting with slide three, I want to start by saying it's really clear that we are living in unprecedented times, with a global pandemic bringing India to a shutdown for over 2 months for the first time in our known history. We wanted to start, therefore, by giving you a sense of how we've prepared for this scenario and how we are positioned to deal with some of the consequences of the environment we're seeing as we open up. There were broadly four pillars to our response to what we saw coming our way based on what we were seeing happening in China. The first pillar was to ensure our employee safety and ensuring we kept engaged with them throughout the lockdown. We provided all the necessary medical support to our employees and used the opportunity to drive digital learning very, very aggressively. The second pillar was ensuring business continuity through the lockdown. We were early to move to 100% work from home scenario and did this, in fact, a week before the lockdown was actually announced. That preparation prepared us to deal with the lockdown seamlessly. We've also been one of the earlier players to restart operations, and almost 90% of our branches are now operational. During the lockdown in the second half of March, April and May, our life insurance, health insurance, mutual funds, stockbroking and insurance broking businesses were fully prepared to conduct business. In life insurance, for instance, we've grown our individual FYP by 10% over last May, even during the lockdown. Our health insurance business has grown 69% year-on-year in May after a strong April where we grew by 63% year-on-year. Our mutual fund business processed almost 1 million transactions during the lockdown, and our general insurance broking business was settling claims, large number of claims, and writing a record level of business in April and May. The third pillar for us was about customer and distributor engagement, along with launching pre-approved products and using our customer connect to drive a service-to-sale model. The fourth pillar was our tech readiness, because this was almost the enabler and the foundation that allowed us to move most of our services to a digital platform and offer a bulk of our services to our customers digitally. Let me now move on to slide four. This slide has the key highlights for FY20. If I start on the top left, you can see that we've continued to maintain a consistent profit delivery as a result of our diversified business model. The consolidated Aditya Birla Capital FY20 PAT grew by 6% year-on-year. In fact, the PAT, excluding the COVID provisions, would have grown by 15% year-on-year. Our total active customer base has grown to 20 million, which makes it now a reasonably sized financial services, retail financial services franchise. We raised 2,100 crores of equity capital in September 20 through a preferential allotment to our promoter group and marquee investors. Our life insurance embedded value is over 5,188 crores with a return on EV of 13.2%. Our health insurance, which is now probably one of the fastest growing health insurance companies in the industry, grew 76% year-on-year last year to end with 872 crores of GWP with a retail mix of 72%. Our asset management company continued to grow its profitable trajectory, with PAT growing by 10% year-on-year, with an equity mix at 36% and with PBT to AUM at 26 basis points. Our NBFC NIM expanded year-on-year by 38 basis points to 5.29%, led by our strategic focus on improving our retail and SME mix, which is now over 50%. Our pre-provision operating profit grew 16% year-on-year, showing the underlying strength of our NBFC business. Our housing finance company PAT, excluding the COVID provision, grew by 55% year-on-year, and ROE just under 10%, with the retail mix strong at 95%. Our lending businesses raised long-term funds of over 15,000 crores in fiscal 20, a significant amount given how much liquidity mattered to this sector. And we had our AAA rating reaffirmed for both our NBFC and our housing finance company. And the ARC, our newest business, turned profitable in its first year of operation with assets under management of about 2,800 crores. Moving now to slide 5, on a consolidated basis, our revenue in FY20 was up by about 9% over FY19, and our PAT was up by about 6% to 920 crores. On the right-hand side of this slide, you'd notice that we've seen good growth in our PAT across our businesses. Our NBFC, even after the COVID-related provisions, has delivered a very decent 821 crores of PAT, and our life company, which lost a vital 2 weeks in March, still delivered flat profits for the financial year. Other than these, all businesses have grown PAT handsomely, as you will see from the slide. We've already crystallized cost savings of about 110 crores for the next year and are targeting an additional 150 to 170 crores of savings across our platform. Let me now move on to slide 6, where I want to spend a bit of time on our digital approach and our digital assets before we get into the individual business sections. In our view, digital was always a very important part of what we were doing, but with what's happened in the last few months, it has become a critical part of any strategy, including ours. Our digital preparedness not only helped us seamlessly navigate the lockdown, but we believe it positions us very well for the post-lockdown world. On this slide, I want to talk about our digital assets to onboard customers and distributors. As you will note, having digital assets in place allowed us to onboard all our customers and distributors digitally during the lockdown and allowed us to source the business digitally across our businesses. And this resulted in the numbers that I spoke to you earlier in April and May. Slide 7 covers our digital assets for customer servicing, be it the website, our apps, our chatbots, or indeed WhatsApp. We have today 34 lakh customers registered for WhatsApp services with us. And in April alone, we did 4.6 lakh transactions on WhatsApp, making this a very significant servicing channel for all our businesses. 94% of our services are now available on digital channels, which allows greater self-service by our customers whenever they choose and however they choose. The digital assets to onboard customers and distributors, the digital assets to transact, and the assets to access service by our customers provide us an array of tools to reach out and serve our customers and distributors effectively across the length and breadth of the country. We believe that this will be a very key factor in the world we are now entering. Let me now move on to slide 8 and give you a sense of the new technologies we're looking at that will take us further down the digital path. We believe that more and more people would want to be served remotely in the world that we are now entering. We are therefore developing an integrated remote advising platform to enable audio and video calling, web chatting, and co-browsing so that the entire pre-sales and purchase experience can happen remotely in a single interaction. You can imagine that this will improve our productivity of both our salespeople and our advisors. Second, to ensure higher adoption of our digital assets, we are building in voice bots, speech-to-text capability, and multilingual capabilities. Supported by AI and ML-backed facial recognition and video KYC, this could be a step change in customer experience, our geographic reach, and our ability to onboard customers at scale. I last time discussed the work we were doing with several fintechs under the banner of what we call BizLabs. We have done some interesting pilots with some of these fintechs. In fact, we have one partnership that is building a real-time and omni-channel service-to-sales engine which helps convert customer engagement to transactions. Another partnership is going to allow us to drive hyper-personalized next-best conversations to improve our cross-sell and upsell outcomes. And finally, our cross-sell offer factory is working on building the next-best offer using AI and ML. This is already in place across the board and is already starting to give us some results. Let me now hand over to Rakesh Singh, the MD of our NBFC, who will now cover our two lending businesses.
Move to slide 10. And in this segment, I will take you through NBFC update and performance. As Ajay has already covered employee safety and BCP, so I will not cover that in detail. I want to highlight three focus areas for us in the last 2-3 months. Our immediate priority was to ensure continuity to our customers, and we were able to respond to all our customer requests with no interruption as we went to work from home in advance of the lockdown. Simultaneously, we were actively managing our portfolio to mitigate any risk arising out of the given situation with a strong focus on collections. We were in touch with our customers during the lockdown through different tech platforms. Here, I want to call out the benefit of having a diversified and secured portfolio. More than 80% of our portfolio is secured in nature. Even our unsecured MSME loans are covered under credit guarantee provided by SIDBI. So close to 75% of our MSME unsecured loans are covered under SIDBI PGT SME. Moving to slide 11, I want to highlight that we have been driving retail and SME customer segments for the last 2 years. And they now constitute more than 50% of our overall portfolio. Given the environment, we have been cautious on our growth. But if we look at, we have executed well on our retail and SME strategy. As a result of this, our margins have improved by 75 basis points over the last 2 years. If you see on the right-hand side of this slide, majority of the growth has come from retail. Moving to slide number 12, we are building granularity across all customer segments. There is a lot of data given on this slide, but I want to highlight the average ticket size of each segment. SME has come down from 7 crores to 5 crores. Retail average ticket size has come down from 12 lakhs to 4 lakhs. Large and mid-corp has come down from 76 crores to 59. And last, loan against security has come down from 54 to 35 crores. We move to the next slide, slide 13. Given the execution of our strategy, the core profitability has remained very strong. Our NII has grown by more than 20% compounded annual growth over the last 2 years. If we see in the absolute terms, we have added close to 800 crores to our NII in the last 2 years. While driving our retail and SME strategy, we have managed our cost very efficiently and reduced our cost to income by 230 basis points over the previous year. Our PPOP of pre-provision operating profit has grown by 18% CAGR over the last 2 years. In absolute terms, we have added 500 crores over the last 2 years. I'll move to the next slide, slide 14. And talking about quality of book and provision, we have improved our provision cover last quarter. And if we include the realizable security, we are quite well covered. We have shown segmental stage 3 and want to call out that there are few accounts in corporate segment which are under resolution and have got delayed because of the lockdown. We are confident that these will get resolved post the lockdown. Additionally, we did an extensive review of our portfolio given the environment and have provided 163 crores of incremental COVID provision. Our AUM under moratorium is at 33%. I will move to slide 15. As I mentioned earlier, we have a very comfortable ALM till March 21. We raised 11,700 crores of long-term money last year. And we have also raised additional 4,100 crores during the lockdown. Apart from this, we have 3,100 crores of sanctions which we are underway for documentation. Under a stress case scenario also, which you see on the right-hand side, our liquidity is quite comfortable. I move to the slide 16, and I want to leave you with our key priorities for the year. We feel confident of our balance sheet and our liquidity position. We are actively working with our customers, clients, and channel partners to kickstart the business in our chosen segments. We are leveraging the government guarantee schemes and extending it to our MSME customers. We are looking at an annualized cost save of 8 to 9%. We will continue to strengthen our credit underwriting and collections in the current environment. So the financial slides is there for you to just go through the details, and if there is any questions, we can take it later. I will now move to the housing segment and move to slide number 19. It has been a very similar approach in our housing business as well. Priorities have been to ensure continuity for our customers and employee safety. We connected with 100% of our customer base through different tech platforms. On On liquidity and balance sheet, we raised 400 crores of NCD during lockdown. Further, we got sanctions of more than 2,000 crores, including 228 crores from NHB. Similar to NBFC, we got a AAA rating reconfirmation last quarter by both ICRA and India Ratings. We have a very comfortable capital adequacy of 19%. Now I move to slide 20. I was on slide 20 in the housing segment, and I was mentioning that in line with our strategy, we have been driving retailization, and now close to 95% of our portfolio is retail. Also, we have been driving affordable housing, and if we see that segment has been growing quite well, it has grown by more than 6x in the last 2 years, which can be seen on the right-hand side of the slide. Majority of the growth has come from the affordable segment. Moving to slide 21, our portfolio is quite diverse across product and geography. In line with the industry, West is the largest market for us, and it has grown from 38% to 42%. As we are driving affordable, a lot of our growth is coming from non-metros. Average ticket size for our HL business has come down to 55 lakhs, and our affordable average ticket size is 13 lakhs. In the affordable segment, 62% of the portfolio comes from salaried segment. Moving to slide 22, we have delivered a very strong profit over the last 2 years. Our NII has grown by more than 30% CAGR over the last 2 years. It has grown from 192 crores to 328 crores. We have maintained margins in spite of cost of funds going up in the last 2 years and our construction finance portfolio coming down. Our cost income ratio has improved significantly and has come down to 46% from 71% 2 years back. Our pre-provision operating profit has almost grown 4 times over the last 2 years. Indeed, a very strong profit performance. I want to move to slide 23. Coming to portfolio quality and provision, our provision cover is very healthy at 32% with an LTV of 59% at the portfolio level. Similar to NBFC, we did a extensive assessment of the portfolio and have provided 20% of our overall provision as COVID provision. Close to 30% of our affordable home loans are backed by mortgage guarantee, and 1/3 of the mortgage, the customers who have taken moratorium are covered under this mortgage guarantee. We have a very small construction finance portfolio where the average ticket size is 9 crores. Moving to slide 24, on the liabilities, we are very well positioned. We have a comfortable ALM till March 21. We raised 3,100 crores of long-term funds. We have got reconfirmation of AAA rating. Liability maturity, including interest, if you see on the right-hand side, is quite comfortable looking at even a stress case cash flow analysis, which we have done. I want to move to slide 25. And on slide 25, the business has created a value-accretive growth over the last 3 years. PAT has grown by 3x. Return on assets has improved from 0.4 to 1%. And ROE has improved to 10%. In terms of moving to slide 26, way forward, we feel strongly positioned because of our balance sheet and the liquidity position. We are actively working with our customers, channel partners to kickstart the business whenever the normalization happens. We will look to resume growth in the chosen segment, as I mentioned earlier. And we are looking at an annualized cost save of 8 to 9% in this business as well. I will move to slide 27 and will leave you with the slide to, if you have any questions, we can take that later. Now I will hand over to Bala, who is the MD and CEO of our asset management business. Over to you, Bala.
Yeah. Thanks, Rakesh, and good evening to everyone. From the AMC business point of view, the focus for the last 2 months during the lockdown period remains focused in reaching out to customers and distributors through various digital platforms and during the lockdown period. We identified key priority areas and they are as follows as mentioned in the slide number 29. We did our first flagship annual event with the 7th conference in a virtual platform reaching out to more than 40,000 distributors and investors across the country. We would take pride by being the first one in the industry in doing such a large format investment conference using digital platform. Whole event was centered around discussing about investment outlook going forward and showcasing our own investment team capability. The second priority was to manage liquidity and related risk across our portfolio in both in fixed income and equity, and we did manage well during the lockdown period. And third, operational efficiency was further improved by making all transactions come through digital platform. We also initiated service to sales model in reaching out to customers directly during this period. Lastly, while employee safety was taken care, we also rolled out sales enablement tools to all our sales employees to increase the productivity in the days to come. While we maintained the overall folio at about 7.2 million, and due to digital penetration, we also managed to increase our transactions as a percentage of total transaction with respect to the physical versus digital platform during the same period. At the same time, I'm also happy to share with you that during the period of April and May, and we did receive about 1,300 crores of inflows into our equity fund collectively. Go on to the slide number 30. I just want to give you quickly about in the last 5 years how we have built our AMC fantasy in building our retail, increasing our geographical penetration. As well, let me spend some time and give you the number before I come to the this quarter number in the last slide. Slide number 30, I have just explained about the how we build our leadership position. You can see from the slide, our equity assets moved from 33,000 crores in the year 2016 to about 90,000 crores as of FY20 March. Our debt assets too grew from 1,02,000 crores to 1,61,000 crores. In fact, the folio grew by 17% over 5 years, whereas we grew by about 25%. Again, the industry was 70%. We grew by about 25% of the folios. As a result of this, overall equity component of our total assets under management moved from 23% to 36%. And more on slide number 31. To look at this slide, our effort to build sustainable business model reflects on our retail growth across different parameters over the last 5 years. They were more in the nature of adding customer base and folios, improve our equity market share, build sustainable growth through SIPs, build our retail AUM continuously, both in equity and fixed income, and focus on penetrating into the B30 locations. The overall folio addition, we were the highest among the top 5 AMCs. We are the second highest growth among top 5 AMCs in increasing equity AUM, overall retail AUM, and B30 market share AUM growth. In the next few slides, I will highlight about some more details on how we built our retail market share, both at the AUM level and expanding our reach through B30 market. If you look at slide number 32, our equity growth over a 5-year period was 35%, as against 30% of the industry. We were 20,000 crores of assets in the year FY15, which had moved to 90,000 crores as of March 2020. This growth was the second highest among the top 5 AMCs in the country. If you have to look at our overall contribution of equity, as a percentage of total assets under management moved by 17% from FY15 number, much better than our competing funds. As a result of this, we could create leadership in every fund category with a clear vision to build scale in each of the categories defined by the industry. And if you go to slide number 33, I'd like to highlight further on retail expansion. We have the second highest growth among top 5 AMCs both in retail market share and B30 contributions. In fact, our asset mix from both retail and B30 to the total assets improved by 9% and 4% in absolute numbers since 2015. We could achieve these numbers through constant drive in building our customers, increasing our geographical footprint, increasing our presence in deeper parts of the location. The slide number 34, if you see, our traditional channel continued to drive our business growth. Despite not having any bank-backed distribution support, we kept our growth high for the last 5 years through the traditional channel. And in fact, our engagement with IFAs is the highest through various means and in driving the business growth. Our overall motto of hiring presence across key markets and IFAs remains. While we continue our traditional way of building our business, we also made big progress in providing both service and sales through various digital initiatives. Our transactions through digital platform, both owned assets and partner assets, have shown significant improvement wherein the transaction volumes has moved up from 57% in year 2018 to 97% as of April 2020 through the digital platform. During the lockdown, our existing assets in digital assets such as FinGoo Partner App for distributors, Active Account App for onboarding customers in our liquid funds have seen a surge in volume. Our distributor advisor channels such as PhonePe, Grow App and Paytm have also seen surge in volume for our NPE business. Many initiatives under the umbrella of digital platform have been rolled out such as micro SIP, one-click SIP products, upsell to our existing customers on the back of analytical tools by offering next best offer among others. We are seeing good success on these initiatives during this period. We will continue to keep our effort in taking the AMC digital way of running the business by instituting a concept called Go Green Concept in the months to come, thus improving the volume and reducing the cost. I'm coming to slide number 35, which is the financial performance. Our focus in building retail, our equity assets have resulted in PBT to AEM as a basis point, improving to 26 basis points from 23 basis points in the year 2018. The same way, our PAT had moved up from 19% over 2 years and 32% over 5 years to about 494 crores for the year ending FY 2020. And consequent to this as an outcome, ROE has moved up from moved to 38% as the business continues to generate free cash flow. This last slide will again mention about the overall number of AMC. Having seen the 5 years robust growth across different parameters, last year was a tough year for us and in general for the mutual industry. Therefore, it was a year of consolidation, no doubt. And overall assets and management remained flat. It was one of the years among the last 10 years where we went through a flat growth. Having said, our overall commitment to maintain leadership position and increase our retail customer base remain the core area of focus as we move forward. With this, I will stop and hand over to Mayank, who is the MD and CEO of the Lakshmi Life Insurance. Kamlesh of Bulaka Insurance.
Hi, thanks Bala. I'm referring to slide number 38. I think business resilience in the last 60 to 75 days has been tested to the fullest, and firms have been truly tested on the ability to reach customers and distributors fully digitally. So if you refer to slide 38 on the right-hand side, I think our April volumes were better than the industry. Industry degrew by 40% and ABSLI by 25%. Happy to state that in the month of May, among the few guys who actually grew over their last year's numbers by 10%, and our estimates are that industry would have degrown by 25% to 30%, making us YTD May among the few players whose last year's numbers and this year's numbers are pretty close. On the group business, we actually grew from 123 crores to 252 crores, close to double. And we continue managing the mix here from an overall profitability point of view. Our overall claim settlement ratio last year was higher than the previous year. And in spite of the last 15 days of lockdown, we were able to settle more than 1,000 claims digitally. So overall, while safety was key during the first 60 days of lockdown, post-easing, about 85% of our branches are fully operational in May with higher safety and sanitization standards. Moving to slide number 29, we have had a robust growth in our individual business. Compared to last year, we are flat, and that accounted for the loss in the business in the last 15 days of March. But if you look at our 2-year CAGR, as against an industry growth of 11%, ABSLI has grown by 27%. In fact, pre-COVID till February 2020, we were growing at about 10% year-on-year. On the renewal side, on slide number 39, we've had a healthy growth, 2-year CAGR of 16%. Pre-COVID in February, we are at 21%. And as I talk, in the month of May, we've been able to get our renewal premium collections to pre-COVID levels, thanks to all the digital infrastructure that we put in place in March, April and May. Moving on to slide number 40, is the focus on the right mix in our business. So if you look at all 3 years, the stable mix between one-third on the ULIP side and two-third on the traditional side. And whilst the growth that you see on the non-part of the business over the 3 years, 100% of our expected maturity benefits of our guarantee portfolio are hedged, which minimizes the risk on interest rate on the balance sheet side of the business. If you look at both gross VNB and net VNB, and we've given you a picture of the GSEC moving from 7% plus levels to about 6% that we see it move in this year, last year March. We've been able to maintain a healthy gross margin in the range of 33% to 34%. The gross margin maintained despite falling interest rates. On the net VNB side, over the last few years, 4.3 went up to 9.8. And we were well on our way pre-COVID to take it to 11 to 12%. But the loss of business in March, in spite of that, we were able to keep the net VNB margins at 6.9 levels. We move to slide 41, our sourcing mix, which is the cornerstone of our distribution strategy, is pretty healthy now at roughly 50-50 on banker versus proprietary, which used to be at some point of time skewed towards proprietary. And we have a large access to distribution, largest number of banker tie-ups at 8 and access to close to 10,000 branches. And similarly, our own infrastructure of proprietary with more than close to 400 branches and more than 82,000 agents. On the right-hand side of slide 41 is the same mix of our business, and we focus more on proprietary if you look at versus partnership. Both have had reasonable growth. In YTD Feb, we were growing at 14% and 6% on both these channels. On the proprietary side, please note that the mix of the business, while it's managed well on both sides, the protection part of our business in the proprietary business is healthy at about 11% overall, generating not only just value and volume, but both mix done well on the proprietary side of the business. Slide 42 is a picture of the digital journey of our customer experience. So the headline is at the bottom where the self-service ratio has gone up to 63% this year as compared to 52% last year. In fact, in the month of March itself, it's gone to 72%, and we hope to take the number up from here. And diversely across distribution, our various portals, customer distributor, our contact center, as well as the chatbot and the WhatsApp applications that we put in place. Moving to slide 43 is the focus on quality of the business. You see a good growth on the 13-month collections on persistency moving from 78 to 83, and that actually flows through all the years, including the 61st month at 49%, and with a healthy mix of 50-50% on banker and proprietary, we see this getting better over the next few years to come. Our surrender as a percentage of AUM through both our measures that we put and a lot of analytic models that we use here has seen degrowth from 13.7% levels to 8%. On the right-hand side is the AUM picture. Steady growth over 2 years at 6 in spite of the correction that happened in the month of March of this year at 41,000 crore levels. And our OPEX, in spite of losing the peak volume in the last 2 weeks of March, we've been able to maintain that at 15.9% of the premium levels. And we continue our focus to make sure that we manage to bring it down year after year. The slide number 44 is the growth on MCEV. We moved from 4,900 crores to closer to 5,200 crores this year with an ROEV of 13.2%. And the sensitivity table is on the right-hand side. Bulk of which is on interest rates, and we've still been able to manage our gross VNB margins with fluctuating GSEC rates. On slide number 45 is the overall financial numbers, which we've spoken about. The PAT is flat from 131. We've still been able to maintain at 137, and we can have question answers at the end. With this, I'll hand it over to Mayank, who's the MD CEO of our health insurance business.
Thank you, Kamlesh. As we look at our the performance of our health insurance business, you know, let me just give you a summary of what happened last year. Last year, we had three key objectives. You know, the first one being increasing our retail mix of business and growing that much ahead of the industry growth rate. The second one being that having taken a call to, you know, work towards, you know, break even by last quarter FY22, the combined ratio trending had to be such that we were on track for that. And the third one was to deepen our, you know, our differentiation in the health first business model that has actually helped us grow much faster than the industry. On all three counts, we have done extremely well, as you would see from slide 47. And on the retail side, we grew 95%, taking the mix to about 72% of our overall portfolio, which grew 76%, well ahead of the overall GI industry rate of 11% and SAHI in, growth rate of 27%. In addition, I think what was also pleasing was that we were able to take the coverage of life to about 8.3 million people covered under ABHI policies, ahead of 2.3 million the previous year. Now, this has been possible because of four key pillars that I'd like to talk to you about in the next few slides. The first one being a very strong and very diversified distribution channel, Second being a very, very large and comprehensive product suite, basically creating products for all. Ability to, you know, provide, you know, the delivery to customers across physical and, most importantly, digital channels, which become extremely relevant today and therefore creating large digital assets. And the fourth one being, how do you, you know, continue to enhance the value through our health first model through a very, very comprehensive customer engagement model. Talking about the last 2 months when the entire industry was, you know, grappling with the impact of COVID, health insurance industry had an opportunity because it became extremely relevant for consumers now more than ever. In these times when, you know, digital was important, being able to reach out to customers the right product through the right channel, and most importantly, giving them a sense that we had their health also in focus, we were able to demonstrate that through a very, very powerful performance where in the first 2 months of this year, we have grown 71%. And for the data that is available for the month of April, where we grew 66%, the overall industry, GI industry, actually degrew by about 11%, and the Sahi group grew by about 6-7%. So vis-a-vis that, we actually had 66% growth. Now moving to slide 48, where I talk to you about our distribution channels. We are a very well-diversified multi-channel business with a banker-first approach, you know, where 64% of our business actually came from very, very large and diversified bank partnerships, where we have the leading, you know, number of banks working with us, HDFC and Axis included, which came into, you know, partnership last year. We have a very large agency as well, about 25,000 agents, and we are now covering across the length and breadth of the country through the large and diversified distribution channel that we have. What we've also done is to make sure that our distribution folks are fully equipped with digital assets to be able to sell to customers even in these times, and which is evident from the sales that I told you about in the previous slide. And which is also reflected in the fact that 97% of our business is fully digitally enabled end-to-end with no paper involved. Moving to slide 49, I'm just taking our digital capabilities one step ahead. As I said, distribution fully enabled across the entire life cycle, but the same is also true for our customer life cycle. From acquisition to servicing, claims management, retention, and most importantly, engagement, which is actually, you know, the fulcrum of our business model, where we are able to, you know, engage with customers through their, you know, life, you know, health life cycle, and not just on the basis of transactions which typically happen in a traditional health insurance business. And for that, we have built large and very diversified digital assets across web, very active, you know, and I would say industry-leading active health app. We are able to reach out to customers on WhatsApp, leveraging the ABC level WhatsApp for business capability and chatbot. And in addition, our app actually provides a complete health and wellness ecosystem to our customers to meet their entire health lifecycle needs. On the product front, as I said, our whole focus has been to become relevant for all customers and provide all categories of products. We actually were able to bring in the younger customer base of less than 35 years old, which is 65% of India's population, through our incentivized wellness product, which is why our average age is 5 years younger than industry. But at the same time, also offer products to the senior citizens through benefits like chronic care management, etc. Last year, we also, you know, created a new category of products through the, you know, starting with the Policy Bazaar platform, where we are offering now a 1 crore base plus super topper product, which has become a category in itself, with all other players now replicating that whole offering. And we also started offering bite-size and modular offerings across our digital ecosystem, which now becomes very handy because we can reach customers across their digital journeys. In addition, because our health first model is all about, you know, engaging with customers to help them improve their health, and we have large set of health data for our customers because we do engage with customers for their health assessment, health checkups, etc., which is much, you know, larger than the industry. We now have a large pool of, you know, health data. Based on that, we are now stratifying our customers from low to high risk and then intervening and engaging with them for very specific health needs of theirs. And we want to scale up that to, you know, create a very large moat for our business. The impact of that is very well reflected in the fact that customers who engage with us on these journeys are being retained at a level of 20% higher than the average and 6% lower claims. Now, even if we maintain this difference, this can create large financial benefits in years to come. Lastly, on slide 52, if you see, you know, we have been able to grow our revenue over the last 3 years by 3.6x and at the same time customer base 8.3x. Now this has happened in just the third year of our business. At the same time, we have kept a very close eye on the profitability with our claims ratio trending down year after year. Our retail claims ratio is actually was at about 45% last year, and our overall combined ratio trending well to 134%. Well in line with our objective of break even by last quarter FY22. Now moving to the last slide, slide 53. The only number I'd like you to highlight is the 117% Q4 exit combined ratio, which should clearly give you more confidence on the fact that this business is moving towards break even at the defined timeline. So with that, I'd like to hand over to back to Ajay for the next sections.
Thank you, Mayank, and I'm now down to the last slide of the presentation. I want to move to slide 55, which shows the contribution of our other financial services businesses. Over the last year, we've actually optimized our portfolio to reduce the drag of businesses that didn't make economic sense to us anymore. Our profits from these businesses has hence gone up from a loss of 16 crores in FY19 to a profit of 58 crores in FY20. This is largely contributed by three businesses. Our general insurance broking business has grown its PBT by over 50% to 42 crores. Our securities broking business has grown its PBT by 18%. And our ARC platform, which is in partnership with Valde, has an AUM of 2,800 crores and has turned profitable in the very first year of its operations. During the year, we demerged the transaction business of Aditya Birla My Universe into the wealth management business at Aditya Birla Finance, where we think there's a lot of synergy value. So before I open up for questions, let me just say that ABC has seen several economic cycles, and we believe our diversified model allows us to ride through these cycles. Since March, we have seen unprecedented challenges of a magnitude we've never seen before, and we aren't through it by any means. But our performance in our businesses for last year and in the second half of March through April and May demonstrates, in our view, our adaptability, the strength of our diversification strategy, our continued focus on engaging with our customers and partners, our enabling digital technology, the strength of our brand, and finally, the effort and determination of our people across our businesses and across the country. I'd like to now stop and happy to take any questions from you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manoj Bahedi from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Hi Ajit, hi Rakesh. My first question is on our SME and retail portfolio. SME, when I look at, like, our LRD is almost 23% of around 12,700 crore loan book. And currently when most of your customers may be having, like, force majeure clause, which may be impacting their cash flows. So just wanted to get understand from you the kind of pain you are seeing in this. And secondly, on the retail side, if you can help me understand the kind of stress and moratorium on the unsecured part of the book, which is around 51% of our loan book on the retail side.
Yeah, I'll hand it over to Rakesh in a minute, Manoj, but I just want to confirm that 21% is of 12,700 crores. So the LRD book is 21% of 12,000 crores. And the unsecured bill pill also that we're talking, this is both unsecured retail as well as unsecured business loans. That is 51%. And it's 51% of 8,800 crores. So Rakesh has also spoken about the guarantee scheme we have. That pretty much covers most of our business loan element. So really what that leaves is a small amount of retail unsecured loans that we are actually exposed to and the LRD. So we haven't at least seen any major stress in each of these two segments, but Rakesh can add to that.
Yeah.
Just on the retail, let me just start with retail. 43% of our customers in retail have opted for a moratorium. And And if you look at, and Ajay mentioned that our MSME unsecured, our business loans as we call it, 75% of that is covered under CGT SME guarantee. So that means 75% of our principal is guaranteed under this scheme. So in a way, this is also quite secured. So, and if you look at our retail portfolio, performance has been quite stable and quite good. We are not seeing any stress or anything like that at this point in time. Yes, we will have to wait and see how the moratorium gets, when the moratorium gets over. But for the customers who have not opted for moratorium, I think performance has been quite decent. And on the LRD, as Ajay mentioned, over the last year or so, we had brought down the wherever we looked at the LRD and which we saw some bit of risk, we had brought it down. And today, majority of our customers, the lessees, are category A. And they're very, very sound. And we have reached out to all of them. And at this point in time, we don't see any stress coming from that portfolio as well. Mm-hmm. But as we live in uncertain times, we'll have to wait and see how things go. And but at this point in time, our portfolio looks under control.
I have one more question, particularly on our provision coverage side. Don't you think this 33% of provision coverage in current uncertain times, it is on the lower side, though it has gone up from 29% to 33%. So any comments on that?
Yeah, so Manoj, we've discussed this many times before. I think that's why we've added a table at the bottom to show you the security cover we have. Because I think you have to always look at a provision cover along with the security cover that you have. And if you look at the table at the bottom, you'll see the quantum of security that we have against each segment and each level of asset. So we believe actually this provision cover is very adequate given the security cover that we have.
Okay. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. Question is from the line of Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats on the quarter. I have a couple of questions on your NBFC segment. Firstly, we've seen that, you know, the GNPL ratio has been increasing over the past few quarters. You could just talk about a bit about which sectors you're seeing that are stressed and maybe give some color on the corporate book, as in, you know, for example, what percentage is BB and below, or some credit rating mix, something about the corporate book.
So, you know, we've given most of the detail on slide 14, Mr. Engineer. I'm not sure what exactly you're looking at. We have a very diversified portfolio across sectors. So in that sense, you know, no particular sector will get, you know, we're that exposed to. Our whole model has always been a diversified model. In the large and mid-corp, as Rakesh mentioned, we have a couple of cases that have been pending resolution. So in fact, we had it not been for the lockdown, we were hoping that resolution would have happened by this time. But we're still hopeful that as soon as lockdown lifts, you know, we should get these resolutions done and you should see those numbers coming down.
Okay, so the 5% NPL is just maybe a handful of cases, is
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay. And can you give us some flavor on, you know, the credit rating mix of your corporate book?
So for most of our large and large corporate book, it would be slightly less than A. It would be around A, I think. But we haven't done that recently, so I don't want to confirm that. But it would be high-quality book in general.
Okay, fair enough. So secondly, you know, can you talk about your funding mix now? Because I don't think I could see that on your slide.
Yeah, so you're looking at funding mix by source or?
Yeah, by source.
Yeah, so in fact, one of the things we've done is we've now moved bulk of our funding to long-term sources. So about 95% of our funding is now long-term sources of funding. Short-term borrowings are only 5%, which also reflects on slide 15 where you look at our ALM. And Sanjay, maybe you can give the borrowing mix as well.
Yeah. So in terms of our borrowing mix, 89% is long-term. Within that, commercial paper has come down to only 5%. Yeah, we have a term loan, which would be close to 40%. NCD would be about 38%. and then we have sub-debt, okay, which is another 4%. So, and also we have added the ECB, okay, as a new funding source. So between rupee and foreign currency ECB put together, we have 6% okay coming from there.
Got it. And sir, lastly, in your notes to accounts, I saw that you've reclassified stage 2 from, you know, 60 to 90 days to now 30 to 90 days.
Okay.
Have I read it right?
So, Sanjay, do you want to take that?
So, this is on housing?
So, I'm reading note 9 of your account. I was under the impression that NBFCs had to classify all accounts between 31 and 89 days over to a stage 2. But reading it, it sounds like it used to be only 60 to 89 days for you all earlier.
So yes, it was. And as for the circular, which the RBI has also come, it says till the time you have rebuttable logic, then you can have a different stage 2. And if you look at all our data which proves that our stage 2, the flows which goes beyond 70 days, we have been able to pull it back. 60 days, we have been able to pull it back. So that was the reason why it was, but we have moved it to now stage 2 is 30 days to 89 days.
Understood. Okay, perfect. I'll come back in the queue for further questions.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Leader.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishan Chakraborty from DPNDC Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is again with respect to the NBFC business itself. My first question is with respect to slide 14. And I guess you mentioned about the security part of it and therefore you believe the provisions are good enough. So, like, if you could just give me some idea as to what covers that security and the major chunk of the 80% security that you were talking about, is it cash flow based or is that, does that also include property, etc.?
No, the security will always be hard security. It won't be cash flow. It'll be property in bulk of the cases. The cash flow we referred to was the basis of our underwriting because to us that's the first line of defense. Your first line of defense for any lending has to be that there's adequate cash flow to service the debt. Then obviously you look for additional levels of security over and above that.
All right. So all of the security, which is basically the 1,748, is basically property. All right.
That's right.
My next question is with respect to slide 15 and the stress test that you've given. So in that aspect, my question is with respect to how much of the 13,495 crores is actually classified as 50% of your expected collection and how much of that is undrawn lines and basically sanctions. So if you could just give me the split of that 13.5 crores, 50,000 crores.
No, we don't have that split available right now, but you can assume, I mean, we have obviously for our ALM, we have a full, table of what our collections are. We've stressed that by 50%. As there are undrawn line and sanctions, and that adds up to the total.
All right. My next question is like a basic question with respect to the loan book. So as we've seen a 9% shrink in your NBFC loan book in FY20 and you stress on, say, proceeding cautiously. So if you could just provide a little color on what your future expectation with respect to the loan book in both the NBFC business as well as the HFC business would be. So like, would you expect to, say, remain flattish over FY21 or would you say, like, improve disbursements if and when the situation improves?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult to call the way the shape of the economy is going to pan out over this year. You guys are in the markets and economy as well. You know what's happening. So obviously we can't make a statement without knowing the shape of recovery and the timing of recovery. But Rakesh has already covered in his two sections in terms of what areas we'll be looking at to grow, and I can just ask him to repeat that for you. So, Rakesh, if you can just talk about where we will be looking to grow in both the housing and NBFC.
Yeah, so Ajay, I just want to add that, yes, the current situation and the environment is uncertain, and that's the reason we are not in a position to say that, yes, what percentage growth we are looking. but we believe in the long-term secular retail opportunity in India, and that might have been pushed by some time, but we clearly believe that it will come back and we will again start back in terms of the growth. And just to mention a few segments, I think we are looking at retail, a secured business. We are looking at salaried segment to really start the business in the retail segment, clearly. And for housing, we are looking at affordable segment, especially where the end-use customer is buying. And that's the segment which we are looking in the housing segment. So these are the two preferred segment in the near term.
But just to add, Mr. Chakravarti, I think one of the things is that having liquidity, and that's one of the reasons why we've been showing this liquidity, I think we are very well placed in terms of liquidity to be able to capitalize on any opportunity in the market. So while we don't know how things will pan out, as things open up, we are completely ready from a liquidity perspective, at least to capitalize on the opportunity.
Sure, sure. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kalwar from CMD Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. Hi, sir. Thank you so much for taking the question. I just wanted to ask, are there any plans from the company's side? I'm not asking in the short-term period. Obviously, we know that we are facing unprecedented times. But in the time horizon of next 1 or 2 years, can an investor expect some sort of dividend policy from the company?
So, you know, we are still in the growth phase. So some of our businesses still require capital to grow. Our health insurance business is still growing. You've seen some of the businesses and the growth plans we have. I think obviously our intent would be to make sure we can pay dividend to investors, but we can only do that when our businesses have got to a stage where they have free cash flow that we can distribute. So I don't know whether that's 1 or 2 years, but that's definitely part of our plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kuntal Shroff from AB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Ajay sir.
Yes, hi.
Hello. Yeah, hi. So I wanted to know, like, since our listing days in 2015, when we quoted at 250, and our share price has declined 1/5 of that value. So how do you plan in future that we again create such kind of future value for our company? And we, as you know, like, the share price will obviously reflect the true value of the company. So I would be really grateful if you have any comments on this.
Yeah, no. So firstly, we listed our company in 2017, not in 2015.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, no, it's important to know the date. I think few months after we listed, we had the ILFS crisis. A few months after that, we've had domestic crisis, and now we've had COVID. So I think in the 2.5 years that we've been listed, we've probably seen things that we've never seen in our history. We've never seen a AAA company defaulting in the history of India in the time that ILFS defaulted. We've never ever had a situation like COVID ever before. So I think we are living in slightly slightly different circumstances. And that just means sometimes things take a little longer to happen. I think we're focusing on delivering returns and business. And I think if you look at our results quarter on quarter, even this quarter, which has been an exceedingly tough quarter, we've still managed to grow. And, you know, for the year, our profit after tax is up 6%. I've already talked to you about April and May when most businesses were shut. Our life insurance business was growing. Our health insurance business has been growing at healthy rates and, you know, so on and so forth. So as a management team, we are really focused very strongly on delivering results and delivering the business that we know we can do. The stock price is not entirely in our control, unfortunately.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Shroff to rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Uttar Sokhiwar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just a couple of questions from my side. If I look at the life insurance business on slide 14, we have a share of protection is around 6%. So just wanted to understand, protection 6% or is there any further, what is the breakup of that? Number two, regarding to the renewals, can you throw some light? How are the renewal rates for the month of April and May for us? And the protection growth in the last 2 months.
Sorry, you broke a little bit. So the 6%. What was your question on the 6%?
So this 6% protection is an individual protection,
yes, individual.
Or what is it?
It is individual.
Individual.
Yes.
So how do we see the growth in FY21, the protection business?
Yeah. So Kamlesh, can you just take that?
So in the month of April, that 6 is up to 10%. On the general trend, it's moving upward on the protection side. However, the reinsurance premiums actually have gone up significantly in the month of March and April for a lot of players. So protection will become costlier for the same level as we progress. So we'll have to see how that pans out. But for us, in the month of April, we were at 10% on the protection.
Okay. And you expect similar kind of trend for the full?
Yeah, like I said, the trend from the market is a movement towards the protection side of the business, but we have to keep in mind that because the reinsurance rates have changed, protection is going to become costlier by 30% to 40%, and that we have to see how customers will absorb and the trend will continue or no. We know that over the next 3 to 6 months time.
And you had a question on renewal, right?
Yeah.
What was the question, if you can repeat that?
If you look at the top players, the renewal rate, they have highlighted in the month of April, the renewal rates have declined by around 40% to 50%. So just want to have color, how is our renewal rate for April and May? Just wanted to have some color on that.
Yeah, I think Kamlesh mentioned it, but he'll repeat that just now.
So renewal rates in April actually had the benefit of the fact that people got a grace period because that got extended and therefore reflected for a lot of players it was slightly lesser. We were still at about 81%. And like I mentioned in my presentation, in May actually our collections have actually come to our pre-COVID levels. So we've been able to bring it back to pre-COVID levels of normalcy as far as the renewal collections are concerned. And the grace period also expired on May. There's no further grace period as on May 31st.
Okay, great. So just last question from my side. On the similar, you have mentioned that without COVID-19 impact, the VNB net VNB margin would have been 11% to 12% versus 6.9% what we have reported. So what was the major driver for this? Is it the expenses?
The sales we lost in March. 2 weeks of March because of the shutdown, the sales we lost, had we done that amount of sales, we had signaled to the market that we were expecting that VNB this year to be 11% to 12%. We were fully on track for that even up to February until 15th of March. The closure, virtual shutdown from middle of March has led to that gap.
Okay, sure. Thanks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajnish Mehan from Master Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just one question I wanted to ask about, is there any plan for demergers of the business like insurance, AMC and NBFC in another 1 to 2 years? Because if you see, if I see the overall different companies, I see the market, and the current market cap, I mean, there's a lot of value, businesses are demerged for the shareholders.
Yeah, so you're right. And I think this question we'd asked at the last quarter as well. And like I mentioned at that time, I think we are looking at various options that will make sure that the full value of the company is reflected. And, those options are currently underway.
Is it in immediate, like 1 year, or do you still want to grow the businesses towards the size and then do it?
No, if I had certainty, I would tell you both what we are doing and when we are doing it. I think the fact that I'm telling you that we are looking at it means we are looking at it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alpesh Mehta from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, Alpesh.
Yeah, hi. Just one question on the AMC business. Is there been any mark-to-market losses in the other income which would have impacted the profitability for the quarter?
Bala?
Yeah, roughly about 20 odd crores. On the treasury investment that has been made out of surplus cash of AMC, mark-to-market was about 20 odd crores. Yeah, we have compulsory investments in each of the schemes, including equity and fixed income scheme. I think as we moved into April and May, with the market coming back, some of them trends would come back as well.
Perfect. And in the standalone business, there is a dividend income. I guess it's flown from the AMC business to the standalone.
Yes, yes. AMC and our general insurance broking business both pay dividend.
Oh, perfect. Thanks. And
thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shravan Vora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask a simple question on our asset management business. With the growing competition and from banking platform-based AMCs, what is our long-term strategy to fight that that competition? As we see that growth, specifically during last 1.5 years, has slowed a bit.
So, good question. But you know, I think the asset management business in many ways is a fairly democratic business because there is a wide variety of funds and performance is quite well known. So, I think beyond a point in time, all distributors ultimately have to offer products that that meet different needs and that perform. And I think, therefore, just ownership of a channel doesn't necessarily mean that you will get the ability to sell products through that channel. So I do think that as long as we continue to perform and deliver attractive returns, we already have huge scale. We've been in this business 25 years. We are now running, you know, 2.7 lakh crores of AUM. I think as long as you're delivering decent products with good performance, I think the opportunity to grow will continue to remain.
Right. And just a small question on our moratorium book. Like, as the lockdown is getting lifted, are we seeing people coming back and paying, or people making use of the second moratorium that has been provided?
So it's early days. It's only 5 days in, but I think we're already seeing the trend that people are starting to pay back. And I think as the lockdown lifts, we expect that will come down slightly more, because when you look, we have SMEs and we have self-employed customers. All of them are waiting for their business to start so that they can start servicing their debt as well. So I think as the economy opens up, we will start seeing that coming down.
Right. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan for closing comments.
So I just want to thank everyone for joining this call and listening to our story and asking the questions. I wish you all a very good weekend and thank you very much again.
Thank you. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.